You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And one Miss Basketball was not enough. We had to get another Miss Basketball. We got the 2019 Miss Basketball, right? We got Anna DeWolf joining us. Anna, how are you tonight?
Good, thanks.
Good, and we talked a little bit before we just came on here that you just got out of a meeting with your coach. So it might be the offseason, it might be a pandemic, but it doesn't stop. So just curious, you know, what the offseason, you know, what this time was like for you right now, because you should have been just wrapping up school maybe like a week or two ago.
Yeah, sure.
Like for you with everything being cut short?
You know, it was kind of challenging at first because I was just not used to it. Definitely shouldn't have been home, should still be at school, but I made the most of it. They send us workouts to do during this time and that type of stuff, so I've been busy.
So when did you actually come home? It would have been what, like mid-March?
Yeah, early March, yeah.
Okay, so and I'm curious where how far you guys made it in your season, because we had Mackenzie Holmes on and they cut it. Their season got cut right before the NCAA tournament. So curious, like where you guys were at in your season when you got.
Yeah, so we finished. We lost in the semifinals of the A-10s, and then we were going to the NITs, and then right before NITs, we got sent home.
That's gotta be heartbreaking. I mean, yeah. first year in college, you know, conference tournament play, chance to go to the NIT, and it gets cut short. Just curious, like, what have you been doing, like, since you've been home? Like, did you shut it down right away? Did you get right back to work and keep working on your game? Like, what was it like when you got home?
You know, I'm going to be completely honest. I took, like, a week off, you know, a little break to just focus on school because that was finals week.
Yeah.
And then got right back to it. I've been lifting a lot. So I've been focusing mostly on lifting and getting stronger in that aspect of my game because – not that it affected me completely this year, but you could tell there were certain spots that was the area that I needed to grow the most. So really in the off season, that's my biggest goal is to get stronger.
All right. And we're going to touch on what your freshman year was like in a little bit, but I want to go back to the beginning and kind of work our way to where we are now. So we know you from your time at Greeley. Are you born and raised in that area or where'd you come up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Cumberland, Maine. I lived in the same house my entire life. Until last year, my parents decided to sell our house. And my dad actually grew up in Cumberland. And he grew up in Cumberland. And then my aunt, and you know Brooke Gobar, right?
Yeah.
My teammate, this is kind of confusing to explain, but my aunt and her, Brooke's mom, won back-to-back state championships in, I think, 84 and 85.
Okay.
So being able to win states back-to-back with Brooke when I was a junior and senior was pretty special. It just made it that much more special because the family thing and being able to do it just like my aunt and her mom.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, were you raised in a basketball household? I mean, I know you just mentioned your aunt, but, like, how about your parents? Like, you have siblings? Like, was basketball a thing in your house growing up?
Mm-hmm. My brother played – he's a year older than me. He played at Greeley, too. And then my dad grew up coaching us, playing with us, you know, coaching and that stuff.
Who was your favorite player growing up? Were you a fan of the pro game or a college game? Like, was there anybody you looked up to and you admired growing up?
You know, when I was younger, I looked up a lot to Allie Clement, actually.
Okay.
To her. I went to all of her games. I always, like, dreamed of being like her, playing basketball like her, going to college to be like her. So that was one person I really looked up to. I know it's not professional or anything, but Allie Clement, she set such a good example for me and for the kids that I used to play when I was younger with. So, yeah.
I get that. I mean, it seems to be the case with a lot of people in Southern Maine. Like, it seems to be like a big, massive family down there where everyone kind of looks up to the people before them, and you got a bunch of good role models and examples to follow after. So I get that. How about, what was your first experience with, like, actual organized basketball? Like, did you do the youth thing? Was it, you know, once you got to middle school? Like, how early did you get into it?
I played, my dad, or when I was playing, when I was really young, I was in like second grade. I actually played with Brooke Obar, when we were really young, that young. And my dad and I played for Yes when I was that young. And then I used to play like Greeley travel basketball all the time when I was that young. And then I think I joined Firecrackers in like fourth or fifth grade. And that's when I met Faith Bluthin from Booth Bay. And then Mackenzie joined us in like seventh or eighth grade. grade for firecrackers, and then we played up through from eighth to senior year.
Yeah, so I had Emily Esposito on last week, and I asked her, because I know she was in the same program too, and I asked her, I was like, so the Firecrackers, are they the best AAU program around? And she said, without a doubt, and I'm curious if you feel the same way.
Oh, without a doubt, definitely. I think that they prepared me the most for college basketball. I think they have a great program going for them. The way that they just make you so disciplined, and the way they have, they're dedicated to the game and coaching it the correct way, is definitely what prepared me most for college.
Yeah, and like, you go and look back, like the players that have come through that program, and it's unbelievable. Like I looked into it recently, and I was like, wow, like they all play for the Firecrackers. So curious, like being older now, being out of high school, like do you still kind of follow the Firecracker program? Like, do you go back and show up to practice maybe, or like see what the younger kids are doing? Like, is it a family thing once you leave the nest?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know, they do Sunday clinics. Me, Mackenzie, and Faith will go back and just talk to them and sit them down, because when I was that young, Allie and the other Firecrackers would all come back, Espo, you know, so I try to do that too. Actually, since you don't play your senior year because you've already committed, so I'm like kind of retired for a while, actually, from Firecrackers at least, but I don't know a lot of the younger girls because they're so new right now, but I try to make sure I keep up with it. But
now might be a good time. You might have all kinds of free time right now. So this,
I know. Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, whenever you got ready to come into high school, what did you know about Greeley hoops? Like, what did you think was the culture? What did you think was the environment? Like, what kind of program did you think you were going into prior to actually getting into it? Like, did you have any expectations in your head? Or any thoughts of what it was going to be like?
I didn't have any expectations or like knowledge of what it was going to be like, but I was just excited. You know, high school basketball is like what you dreamed of, having fun and just playing with some friends that you've been grown up with. I think the biggest thing for me was just going out and just playing basketball and just enjoying it.
Curious, how big were you when you came in as a freshman? Because right now you're probably what, like 5'7", 5'8"? I think 5'8" is what Fordham has you listed on the website.
Yeah, which might be a stretch, but yeah.
how big were you coming into your freshman year of high school?
I actually look back at pictures now, and it's just crazy how like I can see the difference of how much my like whole body has just changed. Not that I've gotten taller, but just like matured wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who were some of the girls that were in front of you whenever you came in as a freshman?
My freshman year, Sarah Felkow, Maddie Sear with the seniors, and then my sophomore year there was like juniors that year were Maura Train, Molly Chapin, Isabel Porter. We had a good group that year. And then I think that's about like it for playing.
All right. I'm guessing you made varsity as a freshman. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you remember like most? I mean, you're not too far removed for it. 4 years. Yeah. Removed. What do you remember most about coming in to Maine High School basketball? I mean, it could have been like, you know, obviously the speed of the game is different. You're playing against bigger girls compared to what you're playing against in middle school. What was like the biggest thing that stood out to you when you played freshman year?
My freshman year when we played, I had the coach was Joel Rogers, and we were shoot threes all day long. Like literally every shot you take, three-pointer, and we'll take a three-pointer all the time. So there was a ton of three-pointers taken that year. I know Maura Train, Isabel Porter, Molly Chapin, they were knocked down three-point shooters, so that was pretty fun. And we were fast paced, like no set plays, just push the ball and run. So that was a big thing my freshman year.
What was your role on the team? So I know like a lot of times if you see like a girl who's a little bit smaller on the court and she's a freshman or an underclassman, she's usually in the corner spotting up and shooting threes. Mm-hmm. What was the scouting report on you as a freshman? What would you say, what type of game did you have on the court back then?
I think mostly I just got things done. Like if we needed a bucket, I'd get a bucket, but obviously set my teams up beforehand, give the ball out to people that were open and create things for other people around me.
Curious, whenever you came in as a freshman as well, you know, what were you hoping to do? I think for most of us when we're younger, we just want to make the varsity, we want to score points, want to get our name in the paper, stuff like that. What were some of the goals you were setting? I mean, obviously you achieved a lot throughout your 4 years. We mentioned at the top, Miss Basketball. What were some realistic expectations that you set coming in as a freshman, and what did you hope to achieve during your 4 years there? Like, were you even thinking that far ahead when you first started off?
I think the one thing going in as a freshman, I know it was kind of like a big dream, big goal. Everyone wants to win states, you know, but I like going back to Allie Clement. She won all four gold balls. So going in my freshman year, that was like one thing I really wanted to do, just to be like her, to win all 4 years. Obviously not the case that happened, but that's what my biggest goal was my freshman year, was to win states.
So if you followed her, if you knew about her when you were growing up, I'm guessing then you probably went to tournament games as a kid. I'm guessing, right? Were you like
Yeah,
going like huge
definitely.
tournament week came around? So I'm guessing that's something you look forward to. Curious, what was your first tournament experience like? And where'd you guys play? Did you guys play at the expo to kick off, or were you guys at
Yeah,
the
we would play the first, I think it was the first round at the expo, or second, 2 rounds at the expo. I think it was just the first. Then you went to the Civic Center, in Portland.
What was your first reaction getting on the floor and playing at the expo for like an actual tournament game? Because I don't know what the actual atmosphere in there must be like. Because it's got to, well, actually, it probably can't be that much different than some of the high school gyms you play in, because it's not as big as the arena downtown. But you know, what was like that first experience on a in a tournament game? I mean, something you went to as a kid, something you dreamed about. Like, what was the first feeling like actually getting there?
I actually had a lot of fun. My freshman year, I struggled a lot with like being nervous before games and just like feeling pressured and that type of stuff. So I was really nervous my freshman year going into the tournament. Just put a lot of pressure myself. But as the game started and a couple minutes were into the game, first few turnovers were out of hand, you know, I got into the game and it felt better. It was much easier after a couple minutes into the game. But it was fun. I love the atmosphere. I love how close the fans are to you. I love playing in a crowded gym. So I think it was really fun.
How far did you guys get your freshman year?
I think we lost to York is all I know, and they ended up winning states, I'm
So
pretty
you
sure.
talked about how your goal was to win four gold balls. How devastated were you after your
Pretty
freshman year?
devastated. And I remember reminding Brooke her freshman year that that's something you don't want to do is losing the tournament. And I just it you don't forget about it. You always have this like eager to keep playing because you don't get another chance at it.
So how hard were you working like in the off season back then? I mean, obviously you have what it takes to play at the D1 level. You got there, you're there right now. Just curious, like what were you actually doing in the summertime? Like how much work were you putting in, like even back then, like in between your freshman and sophomore year and throughout high school? Like what were your off seasons like?
Well, obviously, I would play AAU, so basically basketball was all year round. And I would train a lot with anybody I could get in the gym with. I know I trained a lot with Robert Pillsbury and Dudley. So I trained a lot with them, just one-on-one sessions, whatever they gave to me, I did. And a lot of times I would go in my driveway and play one-on-one with my brother, who was a year older than me. Then mean would just beat up on me, literally. Just I would. It's funny because we joke about it now, but I used to always like end up quitting because he would beat me, and I would get so angry. But we joke about that now because back then it wasn't funny to me. I hate losing. But yeah, I would train almost every day. Whenever chance I could, I would get shots up, do some cone work, you know, that type of stuff.
Putting in work, just putting in work, right? And getting beat up by someone bigger than you is not a bad thing, right?
Not a bad thing.
Tell the kids out there that may be frustrated right now that they're getting beat up by someone bigger than them on the court. It's not a bad thing,
Exactly.
right?
No, not at all.
There you go. You heard it from a Miss Basketball. It's not a bad thing to get beat up. So coming into your sophomore year, you didn't get a chance to go and win four straight, but you had a chance to win three straight at least.
Exactly.
What happened your sophomore year, and what was like maybe the biggest thing you saw improvement on your side? I'm guessing you took on more responsibility on the court, more things probably ran through you. What was the biggest change from freshman year to sophomore year for you?
I think my freshman year I was a little confused on like what position I was playing because there was a senior that was a point guard and always ran the point guard position. So I was a little confused if I was like the point guard, shooting guard, or whatever. So it took me a little bit to adjust to like when I could be or when I should be the point guard, when should I just take the ball or not take the ball, that type of stuff. So freshman year you try to come in and you try to gain the respect from your teammates because obviously you're the underclassmen. And I did that and then obviously, my sophomore year came around, and everyone knew, like, this is like how we're going to play and push the ball and run and shoot threes whenever we could. And we got a new coach that year, so we were all kind of confused, like, how it was going to end up and how he was going to coach. And Todd Flaherty, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he likes to run the ball, and same thing, don't settle for – well, not technically the same thing, but don't settle for threes, get to the rim, shoot the ball when you're open. So I think the biggest thing was just adjusting from just pushing the ball to keep going and get fast break layups and stuff like that.
So how'd you get your buckets? I mean, I saw the little – I was just reading online. I read the bio. Almost 2,000 points, right?
Almost.
Almost. So yeah. When did the bucket getting go to the next level? When did you start putting points on the board? You have to be consistent from day one to get almost 2,000 points. But yeah. I was curious, like, when did you start to gain that confidence and just feel like you couldn't be guarded and you could score whenever you want? Like, when that started happening for you?
Mm-hmm. I think I focused a lot on, like, being creative in the paint because I'm so short that literally anybody could really block me in the paint, especially playing at the Division I level now. Yeah. I think when I started to become creative, like floaters, like fadeaways, that type of stuff, I think when that happened and I got those skills down, it really helped me and benefited me a lot. But I also was playing with great kids, great teammates, unselfish players, and the ability for them to be able to see me when I made a backdoor cut was, I mean, they get a lot of credit too, definitely, because I know Brooke Obar set me up so many different times. It was like we had the same thoughts. Like, if I went backdoor, she would definitely give me the ball. And if she went backdoor, I would give her the ball. So just being able to play with someone that knows the way you play definitely helps you in that aspect. And there's nothing better than playing with one of your best friends. So
absolutely. So how far did you guys get your sophomore year? I know you guys didn't win at all, but any yeah. closer than the year before or what?
I think I really can't remember. I think it was a regional finals to go to states. We lost to Brunswick, and then I think Messalonsky ended up winning.
Sounds right. Yeah,
they were really good. So even if we won, we'll see.
Devastated were you after two consecutive losses and not going to states again?
I think another thing for me was, like, I had so many seniors that year that I felt like it wasn't my role to take over.
Yeah.
So I, like, kind of deferred a little bit in that aspect because I was still an underclassman. I was still trying to be more respectful than, you know. So I think after that year, I was definitely like, all right, this is my team. This is my chance to take over and be that leader that we needed these last 2 years. So
you shouldn't have waited. You could have got those four straight.
I mean, it takes everyone on the team, so.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about being creative in terms of ways to score, so adding floaters and stuff like that to your game. Mm-hmm. When did you start adding stuff like that? And is that something you came up with on your own? Because I know, like, you know, for some people in the offseason is, I'm just going to play basketball and get better that way, or I'm going to work on conditioning and become better that way. It's different to actually, you know, add new parts to your game to become a better player. Like, was that something that you were self-aware of and you kind of said to yourself, I want to add this? Or was it working from guys like Pills that you had mentioned, or where'd that come from?
Yeah, definitely for all the people that I used to train with, they knew that from the get-go. So mostly them. And then I used to go every summer to a basketball camp in Washington, D.C. with my aunt lives there. So I would travel to D.C., stay a week with them, and then go to a basketball camp that was run by a guy named Dwayne Bryant. He's a retired NBA player. One of my aunts knows him. So I was used to go to his, and he actually taught me the two-step floater. And ever since I was in, like, seventh grade, I think, and I was like, this is way too confusing. This is nothing I'm going to use. And then I would come back and I would just work on it and work on it and work on it until I got good at it. And then I realized that if I need that, it's going to be really important because I'm not going to be able to get all the way to the rim against really tall people because I'm so short. So that's when I really realized that I really needed to start working on those type of things.
I know you mentioned that you played high school ball and then AAU season, so you're pretty much playing year-round.
Mm-hmm.
Some breaks in the year, still they get a run in. I'm curious, like, whenever you actually had free time, were you like a gym rat and, like, you loved just being in the gym working on your game, or were you like, I'd rather go find a place and a place to play pickup? Like, which did you prefer?
I just loved being in the gym alone. Yeah. Whenever I could, I would sneak into the Greeley gym. I don't know if I was allowed to. I probably wasn't. I would get into the closet, be able to get a ball, just being to the ba into the gym all alone. That was like my favorite thing to do. So that's what I would always try to do whenever I could.
And I want to talk about Greeley now. So you mentioned, that obviously it's where you went for 4 years. Talk to me about the Greeley basketball environment. What's a home game like on a Friday night at Greeley High? What kind of crowd do you guys have? Is it a passionate fan base? You guys have like a good band. What's like the atmosphere for a Greeley basketball game when the team's really good?
I wish it would change. I mean, I wish I could say that we had a really good band and student section and all that, but I'm going to be honest, it was not what you would expect a really good girls basketball team was. And if I could change that, that would be one thing I would really change, because girls basketball is good and it's fun to watch, and we have a lot of good players in Maine that are coming out to play Division II, Division I basketball, even Division III basketball. So if I could change one thing about ACC, really, I wish our student section and our fan base was more than what it was.
I'm gonna
And
go ahead.
overall, it's
I'm gonna
girls
stand by.
basketball.
I'm gonna stand by with the girls' basketball. I mean, the amount of D1 play, like D1 players alone that Maine produces, and then D2 and D3, like across the board, like the like Maine girls basketball, like that's where it's at. You heard it on Big Time. That's where it's at. Show the girls some love. So coming into junior year, two more chances to get a gold ball. What happened? What went right for you guys your junior year? You mentioned you're taking more responsibility and just kind of take it on your shoulders that if the ship's going to go down, it's going to go down because of me. What else changed and led you guys to get that gold ball?
Well, I know we got it was me, Brooke Obar, Julia Martel came from Westbrook, and then Camille came in as a freshman. And I think just being, we created like a bond before the season with all of us, all of our players. So I think that was really helpful, the fact that our team could be friends on the court and then also off the court. So I think that was really important, just as the team chemistry and being able to play well with each other. So I think having good teammates, unselfish teammates, like I say all the time, it's not always about scoring the most points. It's not always about getting the most assists. It's just at the end of the day, winning a basketball game and being able to do it with your friends and not care about who gets the most points or whatever. So I think that was really important for our success, because no one cared who was doing it best. As long as we got the win at the end of the day, that was what's important to all of us.
So at this point, you hadn't won a gold ball yet. So I'm curious, like, who were some of the teams that you were chasing? Like, what were some of the teams and games that you got hyped up for? And who were some of the players that you liked to go up against that just, kind of like a measuring stick where you knew if you could play with them or play against or play well against them, if you could beat these teams, that you guys were going to be good. Who were some of those players and teams?
That's a great question. I honestly got excited for every game. Playing high school basketball was so fun. Just being able to go out there and play with my best friends, people I grew up with, people that I just cared for, and those type of things. I think I we had when we played like non-conference, I don't even know if that's what you call in high school, but like when we would play South Portland, we would play Oxford Hills, we played Portland a couple times. And those are the teams that get you ready for the tournament, you know? They're better, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. Playing against Maggie Whitmore, Katie Whitmore, they were fun from South Portland. I used to play Gorm all the time. Mackenzie was always a battle, although we were at different positions, you know. That's when I would have to use my floater, or else I'd get blocked, or I'd still get blocked a few times by her. But I used to also love playing against Jules Colby, against Oxford Hills. And then in conference for A, I think we were A, Marshwood was really good. I don't remember all the girls' names, but there was a group of players that used to play for, I think it was Thunder. I used to always get super excited to play against them because they were really good. And then Brunswick was always our rival ever since they beat us my sophomore year. So that was really fun. Trying to think who else I enjoyed playing against.
It sounds like you're a competitor. Just anyone and anybody who's in front of you, like that's who you want to play against. That's who you like to play, it sounds like.
And I
That's the
think
mentality you got to have.
and I think the biggest thing going into any game is you can't fear anybody. You respect all. So respect all, fear none is what we say at Fordham. So that's like a big thing that I wish I like knew when I go went in playing in high school, even, because you still have to respect everybody, but you can't fear them. So
just full of great stuff right here. Great advice and knowledge for the kids coming up. This is good.
Yeah.
So obviously you guys won the gold ball your junior year. What was the run through the tournament like?
We always played, I think it was, where's Emily Archibald from? Kennebunk?
Yes.
Yeah, so we used to always play them first round. We used to always play Levitt those first two games. And then we would play Brunswick, I think it was, to go into the States. And that was, like, the biggest game because it was revenge, right? So I think just going into that game, remembering the first 2 years of my high school career was, like, so important because you never want to lose in the tournament. It's no fun. Losing any game's no fun. But especially in the tournament when you don't have another shot at it, I think winning the first one was just, like, kind of like a relief because you did it, yeah. You know? And that's what you've been working for since you were a little kid looking up to Allie Clement winning all four. So it was like one of the best nights of my life. My brother won the same, or I think it was one of the same nights that I won states too. So, and he was a senior when he did it. And like before the season started, my parents had promised us if we both won states, my junior year and his senior year, we could get a puppy. So that's like, it kind of was forgotten about during the season. And then the night that it happened, my brother got interviewed after his game when he won states. He said to the news reporter that my parents promised a puppy, which I like completely forgot about.
Yeah.
And because it was so surreal that we both won states the same night, like my dad was crying, my mom was crying. It was just so dramatic. And then when he said that we got a puppy, my parents couldn't back out of it. He literally said it on news. So yeah. They couldn't, and then the week later, the news reporter called us to make sure, like, we still got the puppy.
Wow.
So we got a yellow lab. His name's Champ after winning states.
It's a fitting name right there. I like that.
I know, exactly.
So I'm gonna ask you a question I asked Espo last week when I had her on. So just curious, whenever you're cutting out a net for the first time, do you have any idea what you're doing? When you're climbing the ladder, you're like, oh, God, I want to do something stupid and get embarrassed up here. Or you're like, what am I supposed to do when I get up here? Like, what's the thought process climbing the ladder?
Just don't mess up. That was what I was thinking. And I know this is, like, kind of funny, but another thing I think about is, like, when I'm cutting, like, the rope is, like, the camera's up my armpit. Like, I hope nothing, like, get self-conscious really quickly before. So you're, like, cutting the net like this. And, like, don't mess up. Everyone's watching you. Like, this is your moment to shine. So.
Sounds like it's more pressure-packed than the game itself.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah. I want to go back on something before we get to your senior year run. So you talked about how you had great friends on your team, Brooke and Camille. And then obviously you played with all kinds of friends with the Firecrackers. Like, what was your AAU experience like? I mean, obviously you play with a ton of talented girls.
Yeah.
They're all playing at the next level or will be. Like, looking back on your AAU days and, like, more so in high school, like when you guys were stacked, like what are the memories you take away from that time playing with those girls?
Those were some of the best times in my life. Like, I know that we went to battle with those girls. We would have the hardest practices. We would run so much at the end of those practices. And in the moment, it sucked. But it really prepared us for the next level. And I think just the way that they prepared us and the way that they just, like, fought through, we had to fight through adversity. Like, we would walk into games and people would just judge us by, like, being from Maine and having bright orange jerseys. But the second we got on the court, we just clicked and we would just go in to battle together. Like, we would take no mercy and just battle against people we were playing against. And that's something that I go into every game thinking about, because at the end of the day, it's just a basketball game and you're just going to compete just to win. And yeah.
Yeah. I'm also curious too. So, I mean, like, obviously playing at the D1 level now, you mentioned, like, going to these tournaments and people kind of looking down on you from Maine, because you're from Maine, being a little bit smaller. Like, it sounds like you have, like, that underdog mentality in you where people doubt you just because of where you're from and your size. Is that accurate right there?
100%. You hit that right on the head.
Yeah. All right. Don't sleep on Maine. We got ball players.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, obviously, getting to senior year, you have a chance to go back-to-back. What's the biggest difference, you know, going in, trying to get the first one versus the second time, trying to repeat and being the hunted versus the hunter? You know, what was the difference like going through your senior year like that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You said it right perfectly. Just like everyone was gunning against us. Everybody that came step in our gym and we stepped in their gym, they were fighting to beat us because we were the state champs. So I think that like gave me a little motivation because we were getting everybody's 100%. And if we weren't giving everybody's 100%, we'd be getting the 110% just because of the year before. So I think going into that season, I was more thinking about winning states other than being or getting a two-peat. So I was more focused on just winning that year rather than trying to carry my success from the year before into the next year because I didn't want to keep remembering or reminding myself that I was a state champion. So I think that was a big thing for us, is remembering that it's a new year and everyone was gunning for us, and that it's just going to be that much harder to repeat.
So on top of being the state champ, I mean, you're one of the better players in the state. So I'm wondering too, like being out there, especially your senior year, do you feel a target on your back just because, you know, you're one of the better players in the state? Like, did you feel like people coming at you maybe went a little bit harder against you, wanting to kind of play well against you? Is that something you were aware of that you could feel during your senior
For sure, but I loved it. So
year?
I loved competing. I loved getting everybody's best. And if someone knocked me down, I would just get back up and try again. So I think that was another big thing for me and the way that we all had success. And I think my junior year, around my junior year, I committed. So that was a lot of relief, and it just allowed me to just enjoy it because I feel like I had extra pressure from coaches, like watching my film or asking to come to practice, that type of stuff. So I felt like once I committed, I didn't have to worry about the pressure of performing perfectly well, you know, so
Right.
as close to perfect as possible. So I think once I committed, it was just kind of like a relief to just play the game that I love and go back to just being a kid and just loving the game and competing and doing my best that I possibly could. So that was a big weight off my shoulders my senior year.
I want to come back to your college recruitment process after we get through your senior year here. So just want to, you know, circle the tournament run your senior year to go back to back. What was the tournament run like for you guys the second time around trying to get back to back state championships? Did you guys have any close games, or were you locked in by the time you got there, and was it
Yeah.
much of a challenge, or what was the journey like?
I mean, every game is a challenge, so, but I think we were really locked in, and winning it the year before kind of gave us a little motivation to want to do it again because of that feeling that you get when you win states and like the few days after that you win states. So I think just going in, just remembering that this is my, at least for me, this is my last chance at it. So I think going in like that, just having confidence but not being cocky. It was a big thing for me too. It was just going in, like having confidence that I prepared myself for this moment, but not being overly confident where I'm cocky and I lose it. So I think that was another big thing for me.
You guys did it. You guys went back to back. And you mentioned in the beginning the relationship or the connection between you, Brooke, and I think you said it was your mom and her aunt, right? Did I get it right?
My aunt and her mom.
Okay, there we go. So
Yeah.
now that you guys went back to back, they didn't go back to back, right? They just won once, right?
No, they won back to
Oh,
back.
so they went back to back. Okay. So now that you guys have both gone back to back, do you guys talk shit to them saying our teams would have beat your teams, or
Oh
what?
my gosh, that's we always do that. And their argument is that they were stronger than us,
Ah, that's
but
what everyone
we're
says.
way more skilled than they are.
Yeah.
Like they I don't even think they could do half the dribbling stuff that we can do right
Yeah,
now. So that's our argument, is that we're more skilled.
I think I agree with you guys, but it must still
Yeah.
be some pretty fun discussions to hear.
Definitely.
So back-to-back state championships to close things out, and then also we talked about it a little bit earlier. Almost got 2,000 points. Was that something you were aware of and something you were chasing, or there's something that you would have liked to have done? Maybe not a priority, but it was in the back of your mind.
Oh, for sure, definitely. But you know, at the end of the day, I won two state championships with my best friends. I had a great career at Greeley. I loved my community. I loved the little kids that looked up to me. So at the end of the day, it's not a big deal at all to me. But I guess it would have been awesome. It would have been really cool to say that I got 2,000 points. Doesn't sound as good as almost 2,000 points, but still had a great career, so there's nothing I can really complain about.
And then also not only two state championships, but the Miss Basketball Crown. And Who else was the finalist? I know Mackenzie was one of them, and who was the third finalist?
My two best friends, Faith and Mackenzie.
All right, so I mean that's a loaded trifecta to pick from right there. Mm-hmm. Was that also a goal you had set? Like, was Miss Basketball something that was important to you, something you wanted? Like, was that something in the back of your mind, or it just happened to come along with the success you had at Greeley?
I think I was more focused on winning states at the team than my personal goals. So that was definitely something I used to, when I was younger, I used to write my goals on a little note card and put them all over my mirror. So every day I would see it. That was something I did when I was really young, and I had Miss Maine my senior year when I was younger, written in like terrible handwriting. I was really young, whatever, but I kept it on my mirror. So that was really cool to do that. But to be able to, I think it was more, I was more proud of being able to stand up there with my two best friends by my sides. And when I won, there was no tension between either any of us. So we were all just happy to be there. And I think that's like something I'm really like extremely thankful for, because you know, friends that lose relationships or friendships because one's jealous of the other. Yeah. But it's not with us. We love each other. We're still best friends. And I think we're all happy for each other, which was the best part about it.
And you all went to the next level, to the highest level. You guys all went D1. So you're at Fordham now, just finished up your freshman year. What was the actual recruitment process like? What were some of the schools you were looking at? You know, how did you narrow down your process? You know, you mentioned you declared what, your junior year, right? You committed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got that out of the way early. So I'm just curious what ultimately, you know, helped you make your decision, but what were some of the schools that were in the running as well before picking Fordham?
Yeah. So basically I narrowed it down to, I really don't really remember, to be honest, with all the schools that, I had on my radar, but, I basically got it down to three, which was Fordham, Elon, and American. But I think the biggest thing for me when I made my decision was getting a family atmosphere, because my family and I are really close. I love being close to home. My brother and I are really close. So when I was making my decision, my brother was also a senior, so he was trying to decide where he wanted to go to school. And we made the decision to go to school together at Fordham. So he's actually our manager of the basketball team. So that's cool. Cool. He gets to go to all my games, all my practices. So that's been cool. And I think at Fordham, I felt best because it was such a family atmosphere. And being able to be close enough to home to be able to go home if I need to, and for my parents to be able to come to Fordham. So that was basically my reason why I picked Fordham.
Yeah, and I got to ask a question, and I don't know why I didn't ask any of the other girls I've had on here, because I'm curious. So we mentioned that Maine produces a lot of really good girl basketball players that are going to play D1. And we got one D1 program here in the state, and they're doing well. They're doing well right now as well. They've won conference championships. Curious, like, was Maine ever in the picture? And I'm curious why a lot of girls don't pick Maine. My thought is that you live in Maine, you want to get out of Maine. So I'm curious, you know, was Maine recruiting you? You know, why didn't you look at Maine? Not to badmouth Maine, because like I said, they're doing great. But I'm curious why a lot of girls decide to go out of state.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. And honestly, I ask myself that all the time, because if they were interested, I would definitely highly consider it. But I visited once, I think, or twice. And the coach had told me when I was there on my visit, and this is all honesty and not whatever. He said it was the coach before the one that's there now, Coach Baron. It was Coach Baron. Isn't he the men's coach now?
Yeah.
He recruits a lot of foreigners, or used to recruit a lot of foreigners. And basically what I was told when I was visiting there was, you can come to Maine and you'll be on scholarship, but you'd have to tell me you're coming now. And I was like, I think I was in like eighth grade. And I was like, what? Like, I can't do that. Like, I'm in eighth grade. That's just not fair to me. And I have to keep my eyes open, my options open. And yeah, so that's I was really not really recruited by them. I was just told that. And at that point, I was like, I can't see myself going here right now. So that's basically why. But I would have loved to stay in Maine. That's close to home, far enough away. But so
maybe things would change. If Maine kept all the Maine girls, we'd be, I mean, like I said, they're good. They're good already. But if we kept a lot of the Maine girls, that'd be
kidding.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What was the freshman year at Fordham like? Obviously an adjustment, stepping up in level, going from high school basketball to D1, playing in the A-10, so playing some good schools. What was the biggest like wake up moment for you? This past year, your freshman year, like what was like that moment that stands out? Like, okay, like I gotta, you know, I can't stop working now. It's only just begun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every day is a battle, and everyone's fighting for spots. Everyone's fighting for minutes. Everyone's just—it's just a different level at basketball at the college level. It's just crazy how different it is to step out of Maine and play a Division I sport. I think the biggest thing for me was like the adjustment of the like quickness and the strength of the people and the athleticism that I'm playing against every day in practice. I know Mackenzie's team brings in scout players too, so we play against men every single day in practice, and they're obviously stronger, faster, more explosive, and it just makes you realize like these are things you can be working on besides going out and doing cone dribbles and making 200 shots a day. But just the different aspects of the game, like getting stronger and quicker, is so important as long as you're in shape and being able to knock down a shot too. So
yeah, and I mean, obviously you had success. You made with all rookie team, right? All conference, all rookie team. Yeah, average about 12 points a game. I think that's what I just read on the website. So obviously you had success. So what do you think it was that you're good at already that allowed you to you know, what translated well from going from Maine High School basketball to playing at Fordham? Like what carried over well for you?
It's funny because we had an end of the year evaluations, and I just answered that question, so I should answer this one pretty good. But I think my biggest thing that I brought forward for the Fordham team this year is I'm like have the ability to bring energy and make it competitive because of my competitive nature, and just being able to get everyone fired up around me and excited to play, and being able to talk and lead, and also be extremely competitive in practice and every drill. I'm not losing this drill, that type of stuff. So I think that was my biggest ability this year, and to be out and try to lead with my voice and try to make way up. Just like starting again my freshman year in high school was gaining the respect from my teammates, because you don't want a freshman that comes in thinking they're all that and that type of stuff. So going in freshman year, I kind of just eased my way into it, gained the respect from my teammates, and made sure that I had a voice and that type of stuff. So
now that you do, and now that you learn your lesson from high school of you know, not, you know, don't wait till junior year to make your voice known and to take things into your own hands, right? Because that's when you won state championships. Coming into next year, like, you going to be ready to go? Like, you just going to be from day one, all in, all out. Guys, get behind me. I got this. Is it the mentality?
Yeah, but that starts now. This is the off season, so it's right now that – even though we're away from each other, but you have your own individual responsibilities to continue to improve, to get in good shape, to get stronger. Like I said earlier, like my biggest thing this off season is to get stronger, because not that it affected me a whole lot, but being able to stay with the person that I'm defending on a switch, being able to post, I mean, guard a post if I have to, if I get switched onto, being able to hold my ground and not make it so obvious that I'm a lot littler. So, but that's like my biggest thing this offseason is improving the areas that I definitely need to improve on.
Looking back on your freshman year, what's like the thing that stands out the most? Like what's like the coolest thing, or maybe the best thing? Maybe it's like a team you played against or a venue you played at, player you went up against. But what's the one thing you'll take away from your freshman year and be like, that was really cool?
I think the coolest thing for me was, well, we had actually three sellout crowds. One was our Notre Dame game, the first game. We had a kids game, which is they have like a field day for all the kids in the community, or field trip for all the kids in our community to come to our game. That was a sellout crowd. And then we also went to St. Louis, who had a kids game. So playing in that type of atmosphere was just amazing. Like, it was so much fun to just, I had the flu against, I don't know who we played, but for our kids' game, and I was so sick. I was literally, like, huffing and puffing. It was terrible, but it was one of the best games I played all season. It was actually when I got Rookie of the Week, but it was so much fun to be able to play in that type of atmosphere with just tons of people. I literally couldn't think straight. There was so much noise going on, but playing it in that type of atmosphere is just insane. It's just so much fun. And then playing against Notre Dame was a lot of fun. We ended up losing by like four or five, I think it was, or something like that. But it was our first game. It was my first college game ever. I was really nervous, but it was so much fun just going out there and just saying, like, you know what? I have nothing to lose. These girls are at Notre Dame. Like, I'm at Fordham, so let's go out there and play them and show them what I got. So
it was a lot. Were they ranked at that point? They must have been up there pretty high in the preseason or coming into the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I honestly didn't pay attention to that. I was just like, all right, let's just show them what we're made of. Let's, yeah.
That's the one thing I noticed about you. Like, just in our brief time talking, like, you're just a competitor. Like, you don't care, like, who, you know, what their rank, who's coming, like, whoever I'm playing that night, that's all that matters. And I'm going to go at them regardless
exactly.
of where they are in the standings.
Yeah.
All right. So, obviously, the off season's here. You mentioned things you're going to work on. Anything fun planned while you're home? I mean, you've had an extended break. Like, what, you know, you have a chance to kind of, you mentioned you relax for a week. You gonna do anything fun while you're home, and when are you going back for your sophomore year, or is it up in the air still?
It's still up in the air since we're in New York City. That it's such a hot spot that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen right now. We're actually not told. So as of right now, I guess we're going back. Classes start July 1st, so we have to be there before July 1st, and then at the end of the month we go home and then start school again in August. But who knows if we'll go back in July, but if we do, great, we'll get better. I'll get another class under my belt, make it a little easier during season. Yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah. Hey, that's how it goes sometimes. You know, sometimes you just get in a train of thought. Yeah. Before we get up out of here, I just want to hit on some random topics, some random questions, have some fun with it before we get up out of here. Mm-hmm. So my first question, this is based off something that you just brought up here. Did you watch The Last Dance with Michael Jordan? Did you watch the documentary?
The first one I missed because it was my mom's birthday, but okay. I've watched here and there of them. Yeah.
All right. So first part of the question is on the GOAT debate. Are you a Jordan guy, LeBron guy? Do you not care? Do you have any input on the discussion after watching the documentary?
Definitely Jordan.
Okay.
If I had to choose between Jordan and LeBron. I'm not a huge pro professional basketball watcher, so.
Fair enough. This is part two of my question, though. So you mentioned you saw some of the documentary. Did you see the episode where they talked about Jordan's flu game?
I did, and it's funny you say that because that's what my coaches were telling me before the game.
Yeah. So I'm curious, which one's more impressive, Jordan's flu game or your flu game?
Definitely Jordan's.
Okay.
Come on.
We talk about all the great girls that we have here in Maine and all the people that you play with and all the super talented girls. If you could bring four of the girls with you from Maine to go and just, you know, either start a college program with or just go beat up on some other people, what are the four girls you're bringing with you?
Four?
Yeah. So you're on the team.
Come on, give me a couple of them.
You can either be on the team or and pick four, or you can be the captain and just
I'll be the coach.
Okay, be the coach.
Okay, I'll be the coach. Mackenzie, Faith. I would take Mackenzie, Faith, Espel. I'll take an Allie Clement. Does it have to be my grade?
No, it could be whatever.
Okay, so Allie. And then my fifth person. I'm probably missing a ton of people. I have Mackenzie, Faith. I need one more, right?
Yeah, it could be. You could put yourself on there. You could be the fifth, just to make it easy.
All right, I'll be the fifth player.
There we go. It's a solid squad right there.
Yeah.
And then my other question along with that is, I've asked the other girls the same question. Not only do they pick you, but they always say that you're like the best person in the entire world and you're their favorite person. So what is it about you that everyone just loves so much? Everyone just speaks so highly of you.
I don't know. I just like to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Just be a good person. That's like my biggest thing in life. No matter at the end of the day, just be a great person. You only live once, so.
Good. More good advice for the kids out there.
Yeah,
this is good. So you mentioned being a gym rat and just loving being in there by yourself, putting in work. What's your favorite drill or what's the favorite thing to do when you're in the gym by yourself versus in an actual team practice environment? What's your least favorite drill to run? So favorite thing to do when you're working out by yourself, least favorite thing to do in a practice, what are they?
My least favorite drill. So if I was in practice and I got my least favorite drill, I'd know exactly it's my least favorite one. But now that I'm trying to think of it, okay, well, let's go with my favorite thing to do when I'm alone. My favorite thing, I usually work out, I work out with Brooke a lot now. My favorite thing to do is I like to incorporate a lot of conditioning in my back, in the shooting aspect of my workouts. So my favorite thing, we do this thing where you go from five spots, and if you miss from the one spot, you run to half court and back, or down and back, and then you have to make it from every spot. So that's one thing that I really like to do, although it's really hard. So that's one thing I like to do. And then my least favorite drill, I can't think of anything right now.
You just like it all. You just like the work.
I don't know if I can say that, but but I can't think of anything right now.
Okay, that's fine. That's a tough question. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did.
So we mentioned how you were very close to 2,000 points. You were like 50 points away or something like that. So let's say it's the last game of the year. You got to score 50 to get 2,000. What school do you want to drop 50 on to get 2,000 points? And it has to be in their gym. So what gym would you, what school would you love to go into their home court, just drop 50 on them and get 2,000 points?
Brunswick.
Oh, and it just because is it because from earlier on they were like the team you had to get over?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You hold grudges, it sounds like. You are super competitive.
Sure.
How about just your favorite? Well, what's your favorite gym? If you got to go get a workout in, or if you want to go play pickup, what's your favorite place in the state to go and get a run at?
I love Greeley's gym. I love it. The Nets. I love it. I would definitely go to Greeley.
What was the toughest place to play in high school?
I definitely struggled at Brunswick. I used to struggle at Poland. I don't know. It was just so small. And then where did we play? We played at one school, and their band was really close to the court, and they were heckling me the whole game, and I remember it. They just kept going and going and just wouldn't be quiet. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Brunswick's band. If I had to
guess. Brunswick just keeps coming up here.
Yeah. One gym that I could not stand playing at was Freiburg's gym. I don't know if you've ever been in there, but we used to.
Yeah, I actually DJed a prom at Freiburg one year.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, playing there, it's terrible. They're like, they have the court, and then they it's like a huge field house. And then there's nothing besides behind one of the hoops.
Yeah, it's just like one open space.
It just goes, and it's just like there was people like dribbling on beyond the curtain. I'm like, I couldn't even focus.
What's one thing you'd recommend to the people out there as something to do to pass the time during a quarantine? What's maybe like a hobby you picked up, or like a book you read, or what are you doing to pass the time right now?
I love to fish, so I've been fishing a lot. It's one thing that's safe to do if you're 6 feet apart from someone that you go fishing with.
It's a good one. That's the first time we hear that one on the podcast. I like that. When you get back to New York to go back to Fordham, what's the first thing you're going to do non-basketball related? Like, what's one thing you liked about being down there in the city?
What's probably going to get Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Wow.
I miss that. Yeah. They have a really good, we have a really good Italian restaurant right off campus too. So probably go there.
All right. You just drive an hour and a half north to Bangor if you want Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A is,
I know. I think Mackenzie did that the other day. Literally.
Chick-fil-A is the one thing that is quarantine proof. I live right next to it. Every time I drive by, even right now, it's just packed. Any time of day. It's unbelievable.
I'm sure they are. Yeah.
Before we get up out of here, I need two things. So the first one is I started this off last week with Espo. I'm trying to put together a big time basketball team for the girls, and I'm trying to find a basketball tournament for us to go to. And I'm going to be the GM/owner of the team, and I'll get you girls equipped with the nicest gear under one condition that we go and we just bust ass.
All right, I'm in.
So I didn't have to ask. We got Bryce. We got Anna. We got Espo. We got Mackenzie. We're off to a good start. So I got three commits. Team big time.
We're in. I'm in. All right.
Before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to say something before we leave. So you've had all kinds of great advice for the youth out there. You've also admitted your fangirlism about Allie Platt. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest before we get up out of here?
No, not really. Other than be a great person. Yep.
This is why she's everyone's favorite person. Now I'm starting to see it myself here. I've spent like 50 minutes with her and it's rubbing off. I can feel it. So thank you to Anna for coming through on Big Time the Podcast. And we wish you the best of luck once you get back down there. Hopefully things get back to normal soon and you continue to represent the state of Maine well down there in the A-10. So thank you for coming through. Make sure everyone's checking out previous episodes on YouTube, on Facebook, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now Google Podcasts. We're all over the place. That's it for this week's episode. We'll see you next time. Thank you.